already got up and won the millions.
Houghton's in front of Chauffeur. Houghton's gripping on, and Houghton goes all the way to win the Magic Millions. Won it by 3/4 to Chauffeur. Saul Capolis well clear, and Capolis will brain them, the favourite, bolts in the Magic Millions. Capolis flies 3 minutes. Lucky Hustler went through, took the lead, and Lucky Hustler, too good, draws away. Lucky Hustler, brilliant by 2 lengths, Strawberry Boy. Sunlight for the Millions. Sunlight won it brilliantly by 3 lengths. Dubious Hightail exhilarates. Dubious exhilarates out wide. Exhilarates has won the Millions. Alligator Blood, he's sinking his teeth into them, he's racing clear. Alligator Blood by 2.5.
And now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfie.
And why not, with a little bit of Skyhawks rolling us into 2022 Million Dollar Riff. It's Magic Millions Day. Thanks so much for buying our preview edition of Year-Round Carnival. On this edition, we're going to do a deep dive into the two-year-old, the three-year-old, and the Magic Millions Cup. And then tomorrow we'll run through the card with a bit of an update there to go along with your early edition of Race Speed Profile, supplied to you by Vince Accardi from Daily Sectionals. G'day, Vince.
Happy New Year to you and everybody that is listening. Mate, fantastic, Ralph.
We're up and about, and what we've got here, I think it's a unique situation. We've been tracking these horses through the summer carnival through Sizzlers, and gee, in past years we've had Crocodile Rock and some other good horses emerging. We've had a lot of wet tracks in Brisbane with Eagle Farm, Doomben last week at the Gold Coast was a wet track, so we really haven't had some sharp data. All of a sudden tomorrow, grand final day, and it looks like we've got perfect conditions.
Perfect conditions. Looks like Melbourne's the only one that's been on good tracks. Sydney's been, you know, you got to get the rowboat out. Queensland's all over the place. But, yes, we're clapping hands. What a beautiful way to kick off the season. May we get the favours and the photo finishes, all I can say.
So last week with the wet track, you certainly didn't want to be on the fence. Is there a different dynamic when we go wet to dry as far as how you expect the Gold Coast track to play?
Well, the beauty is this. There's no question that the track will run faster through the velocity of the ground on good, and they'll have a tendency to stick a lot closer to the fence, and there'll be less easing and pushing out wide. I mean, horses are going to have to go wide in the bigger fields, of course, but that won't help them.
It won't.
No.
Right, so where's the golden spot of the Gold Coast when the track's good?
Forward of midfield and anywhere 2, 3, 4, 5 off the fence are all going to be great lanes to be in. It's only way the back markers can really get into the race is, A, if they've got superior talent, and B, if they get a fast race shape. If they don't get that, there's always going to be a lot of truffle because when you get around that turn, traffic jams are big.
Right.
You need luck. So they're going to be all looking to scoot on the inside when they fan and create a bit of space. So I want to be forward of midfield. Very happy if I've got horses that are going to be on the fence to 5, 6 off the fence. So long as you're not getting too far back, I'm going to be happy. And some horses are going to have no choice. If they go forward or back, they're just going to blow up.
Well, let's start with the two-year-old, the big prize money race. It's always a fascinating contest. We've got some young emerging horses going for the $2 million prize money. The favourite's Coolangatta now. This is an either-or situation, which I find really fascinating here. Coolangatta, did we put a big stamp on her? Ranwick, October 2, 1.6 lengths above benchmark. This is from Sizzlers. Wow, she's produced a monster two-year-old IVR figure on debut. For an early season two-year-old, this is a dominant win. Relaxed early, going minus 1.8 to the 800, then minus 0.3 in the mid-race, cruising 3 wide no cover before exploding. 6.3 last 400 with plus 4 the last 200 in isolation. This late speed running the third best last 400 of the triple group one day is particularly blistering closing speed for a juvenile at this time of year. Then she's gone to the Gold Coast and to Doomben rather. She's won easily to justify the odds on favourite, but it was much slower than the other two 1200 metre races on soft ground. So how are you assessing its chances?
Well, typically, like all things, when you're a young horse, you're resuming off, I call it a decent break in this situation, 85 days. it's no easy task for a two-year-old filly to come out and run strongly on wet ground. And it was genuine slow. So I was very happy in the sense that all the deterioration of the performance came late. When you're going 2.5 lengths or 2.6 lengths above benchmark through the first 400 metres in that ground condition, that's a great effort already for a young two-year-old filly. So you want to see the deterioration obviously come at the end, because you've got a couple of scenarios. If you go very fast all the way through, then you've got a rock hard fit, you're a race-to-race proposition. This gives me the insight that there was still room to come for improvement. I mean, 3 lengths softening, this is in velocity downgrade of speed over the last 200 metres, is very, very good still for a young horse, and prove that you can get the 1200. The biggest key, though, is this. You look at the WTI, 0.5 negative. You know this horse can't handle the wet.
Right. So and wet to dry is the big enabler here as well, you reckon?
Oh, the dry. Yeah. It's going to love it. So the challenge for this horse is this. Can it bring that 1.6 over 1,000 metres to 1,200? If it does, well, firstly, there's only two possible horses that can get above benchmark, I believe, in the race, and forget the rest. I mean, I know it's a big field, and a lot of horses are all being set for the race because it's big money, but very few are going to be able to break benchmark.
Well, we heard some of the really good horses over the past at the start of that intro, but in past years, the data's been moderate, but we saw what you just said then reminded me of a horse like Hootson, exploding early speed and just too good. It didn't matter how big the field was because it was going to be just too good with all the others chasing and tired chasing her. So we've got a grand final trainers in Ma Eustace. I heard Kieran Ma, I think it was on racing.com, said he was just delighted with that middle barrier. You got a gun jockey with James McDonald, a gun big race jockey. I should ask, what type of early speed are you expecting from her to be able to, cope with is the word, with other pressure from in and outside?
Well, the beauty is we've already got to understand the horse has got the capacity to run at least 2.5 above, and that's on wet ground. Well, when I look at the structure of the field, it's the big field that's going to create the speed, because the natural speed of the majority of runners in this field, realistically, is going to be around that plus 2 range. So I just sort of sit back and say to myself, okay, you've got at least 4 horses in the field that are going to be able to run benchmark plus 2. That doesn't include Coolangatta, who's got the capacity and already franked to 2.5. So they're going to be all at work if they're going to go faster than plus 2, Ralphie. So what happens is if you're asked to go 2.5 to 4 lengths above IVR benchmark, you're going to be in a scenario, any horse other than the favourite that's going to attempt that sort of speed, he's going to be in a lot of trouble by the time they get to the 400. In other words, the flag will be up in a big way. White flag, that is.
White flag, exactly. So next on your most advantaged list is Miss Hellfire. So how often do we say this with the Snowden's grand final trainers? On debut was Sound at Wyong, picked off in the last stride by Soaring Ambition. Won last week, and for those lining it up, the fillies were significantly faster than the colts. Now, that was on soft ground, so back to the firm ground, but I assume my quick backup means it didn't get to overexert, so that's a perfect setup to quickly back up.
Yeah, it is a good setup. The key here is this filly did produce a really strong WTI 7.4, giving me the insight the horse really appreciated some give in the ground. When I compare it to its debut run at Wyong, the dry track indicator was only 2.2. So I will just have a little bit of a query on how well this horse is going to go on really dry ground and whether that's going to be an advantage or not for the horse. As far as being absolutely right at its top, for maximum performance, the stable have got it where they want it in terms of conditioning.
So the stable mate to that horse is Russian Conquest, and interestingly, the same day that Coolangatta won at the Gold Coast, Russian Conquest really emerged at Randwick. I mean, its debut win was Sound, but it was at Newcastle, that quirky 900. But here, 1,100 metres at Randwick. This is what we wrote at Sizzlers. I'll get your take on that. Minus 0.2 lengths below benchmark, ranked second on the day, bolted in, announced herself as a serious player for the Magic Millions, which is the presumed target, minus 2.4 at the 800 for an excellent 7.4 length squeeze at plus five before minus 3.3 last 400. So if you like, listeners, that was maybe an inverted V shape, you could say. That it was really strong in the mid race and then tapered. Last 200, just minus 2.6 on the 85th best last 200 of the day on the rankings. That says she should considerably elevate going forward fitness wise, coming off Newcastle. And that Newcastle win, best last 800, 600, 400, 200, the standalone feature meeting 13th to the 11th. So how are you assessing Russian Conquest?
Yeah, very, very difficult horse to fault. You summed it up beautifully in that communication from a Sizzler's point of view. The power of the horse was very evident in the mid-race at Randwick, producing that 7.4 above. That's a big, big plus. When you look at the structure of the horse, the way it finished off that race, firstly, through the first section, 2.4 lengths below benchmark, it's not a hot speed for 1,100 metre race at Randwick, but for a two-year-old, it's very solid. And it was almost three lengths quicker than the Newcastle first section. But the power in the mid-race, that's not easy to handle. And what I mean by not easy to handle is the way you're going to be able to hold your rhythm over the last 400 when you have that explosion of energy in the mid-race. And you could see it between the 4 and the 200, the horse lost 3.7 lengths of deterioration in speed and then lost another two lengths over the last 200 metres. That's a perfect way to round off your race as a soft winner. And there's no way this horse will be any fitter than what it's going to turn up tomorrow. And I do see the horse getting the 1,200 metres without too many qualms. As far as where you're going to position on the grid, that's the big key. Because what I can see with this horse here, it has the capacity to relax. So if they can be in that midfield position or slightly more forward and away from the heat, which I suspect it will be, this will be the run that's going to have the last crack at the field if it gets the split. And most likely is the horse that's going to run down Coolangatta if anyone's going to do it. It's going to be this horse.
All right. The one I want to ask you about that probably at bigger odds here is Soaring Ambition. Now, it beat Miss Hellfire with a real big sustained close at Wyong. Then it was just picked off at Doomben, but on wet ground. So it's back onto the dry ground here. How are you assessing Soaring Ambition? Barrier, outside barrier, given what you've communicated, might not be ideal.
It's going to be a challenge for the horse. The Wyong run versus the Doomben run, the WTI and the DTI were very, very similar, around 2.6. So condition-wise, in terms of handling the ground, it was both the same. The only variable was at Doomben, that slow down mid-race of around 3.2 lengths. Really, it all happened between the 6 and the 4. Let's see what benefit the horse could get from that in terms of how much it can elevate. I can't knock the horse in any way, Ralphie. I feel that everything is on point. It's just a matter of whether it can just take that next step. But if it's going to have to charge home, let's say Russian Conquest is a big chance of being in front of it, are you going to be able to get past that horse? That was my big query. I don't want to be on any horse that's going to be behind Russian Conquest over the last 500 metres.
Because it's got the superior close. Yeah,
it's got that field covered.
Yeah. Well, we always call it as it is, and sometimes we look for value, but also you say don't look for value when there's none. Are you saying this is a big field and it really all settles on Coolangatta, just back onto the dry track with an explosive speed, and really it's a matter of Russian Conquest being the one to chase it down if there is one?
That's the way it looks to me. I find it very, very difficult to look any other way.
Right. All right. Let's make it nice and easy. It's a thin race, and maybe the value is the fact that it is such a big field that it can provide you. Is there anything at big odds I should have mentioned?
No, it's just an illusion.
That's it. We don't muck around then. Righto. Let's have a look at the 3-year-old then. I was trying to do some prep before your work came through, Vince, and I was. To be honest, I was struggling. This is not a vintage three-year-old Guineas or whatever it's called, the three-year-old classic for the Magic Millions. Some of these just haven't really produced any sharp time. So the starting point for the market is Jamia and King of Sparta. Got to like King of Sparta again. We mentioned that word, grand final trainers, and Nasra Will is right on point at the moment. Even by his standards, his stats are sensational.
Well, that's a fantastic place to start, isn't it?
Yeah.
because after that, you can, well, if I count just my fingers and not my thumb, that's about exactly how many chances I reckon there are. Four.
Beautiful.
Which is beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
That makes me happy because I know that the rest of them are all there to make numbers. Just like a big deck of cards, most of them are worthless.
Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep. So this is a horse who's got a middle draw, and what you've communicated is you want to have some speed to be able to take a position. It looks like that's what he's going to be able to do. 81 day freshen up before that Gosford run, and the Gosford run on soft ground. So that's a good starting point to really elevate.
Let's have a good look at this horse. That Gosford run, like you said, lovely. 81 days, not a big break if we look on the 88 days prior to that, but 2.4 below benchmark first section. What I like about that is it's a reconfirmation that the horse can relax. The mid-race move wasn't of a high-powered nature, but given the structure of the day and the conditions of the ground, I thought it was excellent. And then the overall last 400 metres, whilst it was plus 1.1, we've seen a knock-off in speed over the very last 200 metres of around a length. So I sit back and say we've had a bit of a fartlek movement in the race because you've had a slowdown between the 6 and the 4, and we've had a taper over the last 200 metres, which means, for me, the only thing I can think of is expect a maximum improvement at its next start. And the 1,400 metres is obviously the big key. So when I sat back and said, okay, let's look at the exertion of this horse over the last 800. From when I go into 1,400 metre races and I see a horse for the first time going at that distance, the typical things that I want to look for is, first of all, is how explosive is your sustained speed over 800 metres and off what speed did you do it? And then, as a secondary, is what type of overall 1,000 metre structure do you have to your capability? So King of Sparta, we've got to go back to the previous prep, that run at Randwick over 1,200 metres, 4.9 lengths below benchmark first section. I wouldn't consider that slow like the start before 9.5 below at Rose Hill, right?
This is behind Paul Lely.
Yeah, but have a look at the last 800 metres at that Randwick run. It was a 9.5 combined last 800, and the start before was 13.2. Now, the 13.2, okay, you've gone very slow. I expect a double-digit figure. But off the 4.9, not a lot of horses can do that. Produce, you know, very close to a double-digit figure off that sort of speed. So I've got a lot of confidence this horse is going to thrive on the 1,400 metres and is going to love dry track.
So you've said here that the IVR forecast is about a length above benchmark. When he ran third to Paul Early at Randwick, 2.4 lengths above benchmark. So it sounds like that you've put a fairly low bar for what this horse is actually capable of delivering.
Yes. Well, this is the key. Bit of traffic might be Nash's biggest hurdle. This is going to be a race that's going to be run very, very fast.
Right.
So that's the key. He's got to be able to slot in. I feel that that's going to be no dramas at all, but he's just going to be needing that luck when you turn the corner. If he gets that, I expect the horse to be forward of midfield. If he gets the break, he's going to run over the top of anybody that's in front of it.
Beautiful. So Jamia's just favourite in an open field. Her trials have looked fantastic. Her best figure, though, was in the Golden Rose. Now, it was sort of, I suppose, what do we call it, a drag-along figure, plus 1.7 lengths above benchmark. But, you know, it was beaten four lengths, chasing some really good stock, including Animo amongst it, Artorias, etc. So she's run very well, probably set for this, given three trials, and like I said, it looks super in what she's how she's closed. How are you assessing her chances?
Well, initially, my view was this is a two-horse race, and this is the only other danger. But when I really peeled it back and really wanted to get some clarity of understanding about the pros and cons for this particular horse and the 112 days leading into this. Now, I'm not uncomfortable about a horse having 112 days off, but what I am uncomfortable is this trainer, who unfortunately scratched the horse, which was going to run, was it on the first? But because of the weather and the downgrades in the ground, the horse got omitted
yep.
out of the race. So unfortunately, that's going to be a big problem for this now. When you're in a race and you're first up 1400 and it's going to be fast, there is going to be an element of conditioning regardless of how many trials you have in going into the race, is because you've missed the match practice, that one run that you need to have the polish on you. It's not going to be there. So what are they going to do with this horse? So I sit back and think, okay, you're drawn perfect. You're going to roll. What speed are you going to roll at? Okay, I look at it and say, well, you're not going to probably roll at the Rolls Hill. If you're going to run at the Rose Hill pace of the 1400, 1.2 below, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You're going to be in big, big trouble, because that means you're going to be most likely in a situation where you're maybe at worst 6 lengths off the lead speed, but you're not going to be able to have that finish that you showed at Rose Hill. No way, impossible to have that sort of strength with no run leading into this race. So that's the challenge for me. If they try and go further back and get comfortable where I feel this horse's A zone is first up, and that's around 3 to 5 lengths below benchmark, you're going to be 10 off. Good luck. Good luck. How are you going to outsprint King of Sparta, who's got the advantage by having more racing? I'm not saying that the horse is inferior in capability. It's just unfortunate what the trainer couldn't plan for is scratching the horse on the first and not getting a run into it. That's, I know he's going to say, oh, well, I'm giving it more trials and I've got it as ready as I can. Yeah, you're not Mr. Waller.
Well, you use the word match practice there. Oh, I've got to go back a bit, Vince, but it doesn't matter what level of footy, it doesn't matter how much pre-season you did. Round one, you were pooped by that quarter time. So, yeah, that's the analogy, isn't it? Unless you've got hard race practice and it's a hard race, you're really going to be challenged.
Yeah, so that's the sad part. It's got the class, has that on side, and it's every bit as good as King of Sparta, but not with one run missing, and this is a proper run.
So conversely, I Am Lethal is rock hard fit. No question about that. And it's in the zone. The question is there more to come, or does it need more to come? It was a very good winner last start when the synthetic hoof filler went in, but was that a peak run? I suppose that's the question there. But it won't be lacking fitness coming here, having raced through the summer.
Well, that's for certain. It's definitely got that on side, and it's demonstrated. You've got to look at the Kenzo run. Very, very strong in the mid-race, going 6.1 above. Even look at the Rose Hill run. Like, sometimes I always have a little bit of caution with the Kenzo because it's just a track where they run faster naturally, Ralph, just the way it's structured. But at Rose Hill, there was no mistaking. The mid-race move was there, and it was 4.7 above, very strong. So we know this horse has a dynamic 400-meter situation. No matter what happens, it can be asked for that, and it will deliver. The very last start at 1300 meters, it didn't have to do any more than what it did to win, Ralphie. It was top five for the day. The difference between that run and the run before was about 0.7 of a length. I'm not too concerned about that. It's now at the Gold Coast, 1400 meters. I feel that's probably a plus back up 100 meters. It's very hard when horses go down in distance when they're having to go so fast in the mid race to be able to hold the line. So there's some good positives there. The question is, it's like this. If for some reason, let's say King of Sparta caught in traffic, can't get through, Jamaica blows up because of the very fast speed, then you're looking for a benchmark performance. There it is. Here's the horse that's going to present very, very nicely.
I'll go next on your most advantage, and then a couple that are a bit untapped that I want to ask you about. But Bend the Knee, you've got next in your most advantage, and that seemed like the ideal tweener run, if you like, the run between the Flemington win and this, no doubt, set for the big prize money here at Gosford. Slow track, what was that, a 53-day break since Flemington. Has it got a horse to interest at that $21 odds, is what you're saying?
Yeah, no doubt this is a horse that's still on the rise. Whilst its profile at the moment sits around a length below benchmark and not quite in the same, well, it's definitely at this stage not in the same class as the other two runners we spoke about at the beginning, the two favoured horses in the market. But the reality is I don't believe we've seen the best of this horse yet, and it's just trending upwards, and a dry track will be a clear-cut positive for the horse. It's like everything. If it travels up well, 1400 metres, I don't see any issues. Is where's McAvoy going to have this horse transition in running? It looks like a runner when I look at its profile that it relaxes. So it's not going to be part of any heat early. It's just a matter of, are you going to be in front of King of Sparta coming to the 500? If you are, then you're a chance. If you're not, no.
The couple that are untapped are Starman. I'll start with, it's a Waller horse. It just could not have done it any easier last week. But that was on a soft track, and again, it's not much. What substance can you find in the data?
Well, I couldn't find any substance. That was the downside. I mean, I can find the substance in Waller and McDonald, and yes, the win looked very impressive, and it got itself in the market. But I just sit back and I look at that Gold Coast performance, where it won easy. I look at the last 400 metres, it was six lengths below benchmark. I felt that the real insight to the horse was the start before it ran with over 1,400 metres. I felt that that was where we get all the knowledge. 3.5 lengths below benchmark first section, that's a good speed for this horse. The mid-race move, it was four lengths, but it was only half above. And the finish was pretty soft. Like, the horse lost 2.6 lengths over the last 200 metres. And I can sit there and say, all right, part of it's conditioning. But I noted in my notes that the horse was extremely forward off the 73-day break at Rose Hill over 1,200 metres and was very aggressive in its closing speed and got like the perfect race in terms of energy distribution. So I do sit back here and say, is it all too soon for you? Are you going to be able to be capable of making that big next step up? And that has to be a big one. Now, again, if they don't turn up the top two for the things that we've touched on, then you have to be some sort of a chance, because the race is only going to be a benchmark minus one to win.
And finally, indiscreetly, well, she hasn't really been tested in the last two wins, certainly, and she won on debut here at the Gold Coast. It ticks that box, but again, it's a soft track to firm track, and being an on-pacer, I dare say you're going to suggest that it's going to be really challenging to be able to cope with the heat.
Well, the first thing is, when I look at the breakdown of this horse, looked very impressive in that 6.3 length win, and you sit back and you say, well, you can't do any more than win, which is a fair assumption for anybody to make. But 10 lengths below benchmark first section, that tells me a lot about where you're at. That first up run at Gold Coast, where it went two lengths above benchmark first section, okay, there was real speed there. But then it had the big slowdown between the 8 and the 4, about 5.6. So there was some possibility that this horse it definitely couldn't produce its best in terms of the way the energy distribution was. And the two lengths below, 11th best of the day, is about as good as you could have gone. And I did feel that, okay, there is that possibility of a couple lengths of improvement. The big question is now, if you're going to go in this race here, where are you going to be positioned is the first question. And if you're going to go out and want to lead this field, oh, wow. You're going to be in a world of pain, because you're going to most likely have to run three or four lengths faster than the Gold Coast, and there'll be no breathing in the middle. You're just going to have to get vomit bucket out, and hopefully you can hold on.
All right. Now, Vince, I've worked with you long enough. I know how you think. I've got a fair idea how you think and how you approach these type of racing. King of Sparta, $6 across the board. This sounds like a beautiful opportunity, keeping the place on side, because really, everything on paper, anything happens when the barrier's open, but on paper, this looks like a lovely opportunity with the place on side.
If you're going to have any bet, that's the runner that I would back myself.
Yep.
Just for what you've just touched on, particularly from a win place ratio point of view. And if it gets the break, he'll be winning, Ralphie.
Beautiful. That's what we want, nice and simple. Let's go to the sixth race, the third that we're going to deep dive into, which is the Magic Millions Cup. $1 million up for grabs. Well, Vince, if there was a poster boy for wet to dry that I was keyed on before I saw your sheets come through, it was Apache Chase. We know every single day of the week when it's a dry track, he continuously runs that plus three range. That's going to make him mighty hard to beat if he can overcome that wide barrier. What's your assessment of how this race is going to unfold?
Yeah, don't worry about the wide barrier. Just be delighted that you now got yourself a golden price. Why isn't this horse $2?
There's the question. Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm really am confused. I was trying to understand, okay, why is it not $2, clear-cut favourite, the one to beat? Is it because of the wide gate? I said, oh, they're not that generous, so it can't be that. But maybe that's part of it, right? that's not going to be an issue. This horse is the fastest horse through the first section by a mile, like a million miles. Like, it's got 3-4 lengths on any horse through the first section without even trying.
So that means and I mentioned Hootson before, actually. That was one of your classic outside barrier horses getting better odds because it's just too fast early. So really, in this case, it's an advantage being drawn wide because Jim Byrne can just come across on his terms.
Oh, absolutely a big advantage. And if he just comes across and does exactly that with its natural speed, don't have to ask the horse to do any more than that, right? It's going to find the front. And I worked it out. There is a little kryptonite with this horse. If they find themselves in a scenario where they're going +7 or more, then that opens up the possibility of the horse being vulnerable late. But if it sits in its comfort zone, this is what I freaked out over. The comfort zone for this horse is anywhere between 3 and 5.5 lengths above benchmark. The natural speed, going +2 will get it across to the front. +5, it will clear the field comfortably and still be in its comfort zone. Good luck trying to run this horse down.
So I like looking at SPs just for different little signals. So I fortnight earlier, let's keep in mind when the markets opened for this Doomben race, Apache was $3.20, Kemantari was $7. Then it was a very heavy track. So $7 to $4 Kemantari, Apache Cat $3.20 to $4.50. So what I'm saying is the initial assessment of the market here was on a dry track, you want to be on Apache Chase every day of the week. But it wasn't dry. So tomorrow will be.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. If you go back 3 runs back, Ralphie, and you look at that 1,500-meter Rosehill run first on Apache Cat,
yeah,
6.8 lengths above benchmark first section, and then pretty much maintained benchmark all the way to the finish with us. Just a little bit of a hold up between the 4 and the 2, but I'm not even counting that into the calculation. I can say to you, clear cut, that's a flat line run for this horse. Went to Eagle Farm over 1,400 and won comfortably, and the reason why it did that, because it only went 2.3 below.
Yeah, but so it was odds on, it was dominant, but it was odds, but it didn't have a race.
No, and then it got onto the heavy track, which the horse is awful on the heavy track. It's got it did improve its WTI to 3.3, but the reality is the previous heavy was like -1. So I can be very confident. Now, when we look at the switch, this is where the confidence comes. You look at the dry track profile, the horse has got an on more than one occasion, it's produced a +9. And then on another occasion, it's produced an 8.3. So what I'm saying is the horse is 5 lengths better on a dry track versus wet. That hasn't been factored into the pricing here at all. It's not even factored. Because $7, I go, not a bullshit. This is complete lie.
We love it. So you've got next as your most advantage is Bo Rossa. Now, we had a real good look at the Bo Rossa when it ran second in the Memsey, and you said, now, this is an illusion. This is about its level. Don't be sucked in. And sure enough, it was unplaced then in the Rupert Clark at big odds. But this is a different kettle of fish here. 2.5 length is your forecast figure. It's clearly been aimed at this. It had 2 good trials. It ran on that wet track there and was okay. Since had another trial at the Gold Coast. So it's clearly set for this race. If it runs to what it did in the Memsey, it's surely going to be pretty hard to beat.
Well, it is most likely going to be one of possibly 2 other horses that are going to try and run down Apache Cat, and this will be the first horse that will get a crack at it. Challenge with the horse will be obviously where it's drawn. It doesn't have the same setup in terms. So it's this horse's natural speed. If you go more than +3, in a world of pain, it'll be death for the horse, right? So this is why I've got so much confidence that Apache Cat's going to lead comfortably. Because I don't know, maybe Panel might do something different, but he knows the horse pretty well. I don't believe he's going to push this horse outside its comfort zone. Because if he does, he's going to run last, right?
And he'll love being able to stalk Apache.
Yeah, so that's what he's going
to
do. There won't
be any incentive to take it on.
No, so he's drawn 16. He's going to see that horse come across and he said, I'll just trail up behind it at my speed. And he should be able to get himself in the forward pack, maybe a length or two behind it. If he's next to it, oh, big trouble for Bo Rossa. If he's not, then he'll get his chance to potentially try and run it down. And the 2.5, I have to say, he clearly proved last campaign that he is capable of running to that level, and there could always be the possibility of improvement. When I looked at that first up run at Toomban, all right, the 0.5 compared to the Morpheville 1050 was slightly behind, but I felt that this horse may have come back a half length better horse, and therefore I can have a bit of confidence that it could turn up and do 2.5 first up and maybe even run into the 3 range, because I really do feel you're going to have to run +3 or better to be on the podium. And I'm not going to say no that it can't do it.
Sure. Nudge, well, to the visual, it just crushed the line on that wet track there, Doomben. And by wet, I mean you saw how hard it hit the line. If to the visual, it was the 35th best last 200 of the day. So by then, the track had really deteriorated. But it seemed to be that perfect bridging run to peak here on its grand final. It's Queensland record's fantastic. During the year, we had a bit of fun following it when it won a Doomben and Eagle Farm. It then ran second at a Stradbroke. So it likes pressure. The problem always for her, though, just lack of early speed.
Of course, that's correct, Ralphie. That's going to be the challenge. There's only probably one other horse, like from a mare's point of view, that could have had the capacity to come from off pace and you know, make the necessary ground to beat a horse like Apache Cap. Then the next best horse was going to be Nudge, right? And the other one, obviously, that I was referring to was the mare that came out and really dominated its performance, and that was Tophane, right? That's Tophane's not here.
Yep.
So I look at Nudge and say, okay, you're a genuine couple of lengths behind Tophane, probably the only horse that could have beaten Apache Cat. Now, is that going to be enough for you to be a threat here? Well, if you get a clear passage and you get the run through the field and you get some space, you are going to storm home. You do have the capacity of a solid finish. Whilst it's not as good as a horse like Tophane, but you have run +7 over the last 400 metres over long distance. You've on multiple occasions been able to run in the +6, +5 range over the last 400. So I've got a lot of confidence this horse is going to storm home. But can you give this horse 10 lengths, 12 lengths head starts? The problem. And I have to sit back and say, no, you can't. But could you run in the money? Yes, you could. If Apache Cat broke down then in the middle of the race, then fair enough.
God wish that doesn't happen, of course. Kevin Tari's a ripper. But have I got this sort of right that, and you're saying 2.5, 3 lengths is probably your winning figure expected here, that on dry ground or really on any ground, he's quite consistent. Post he's failed 4.8 to stud, he's a +1, +2 horse. He's a very honest horse, but he just lacks that real big numbers that he was producing early in his career.
Yeah, well, of course, if he could go back and even run to what he did at Ascot back in 2020, then he's hard in the race, right? 3.6 above when he won by a length that day. He probably, in terms of conditioning and how he feels, he's probably as well as what he was there, but he is genuinely 1 to 2 lengths behind that. His biggest challenge is super fast speed's going to be against the horse. Well, if they run +3 or +4 through the first section, even +5, where does Kementari sit in the race? Well, the reality is he's probably going to be somewhere like Nudge, maybe 8-10, maybe he's going to be in front of Nudge. He should be in front of Nudge. Nash will probably look to do that and try and at least be in the strike zone, which is somewhere within 8 lengths from that lead pack. And the horse is capable of running 5 or 6 above over the last 400, but that's probably not going to be enough to run it down. And if you're on a wet ground, I would be very keen on the horse, but not on dry.
And given its single figure odds, I should round off asking you about 11-11 chances.
3 runs this time in, half a length above benchmark, Kembla Grange run over 1,000 metres being the best. That's definitely, in my view, not its suitable distance in terms of peak performance. I have no doubt that this horse, when I look at the structure of this particular runner, you'd like to think that at 1,400 metres is where its best is with a 2.5, even though it's only had the one win, and that was at the Gold Coast.
So I'll bracket two horses here because the other ones are very big odds, but AIM also won this time last year, won the three-year-old race. 11-11 won this race last year, but the year-to-year comparison is this. Last year we had genuinely soft, wet ground in the straight anyway.
Yeah. You know what the problem is, Ralphie, without being mean?
No.
We're talking about horses that have got no hope of beating Apache chase, no hope, none.
That's what we want to do. Let's round That's the problem. Let's make a nice and easy. So you said
I have to make things up.
We don't want to do that. Let's make it nice and simple. So to round off our three races, Apache Chase, you're saying really on talent, it's close to a $2 range. So $6.50, $7 on offer is remarkable odds there. In the two-year-old race, you are bullish about the favourite, Coolangatta. This is going to be a grand final run. The horse that might be to keep on side is Russian Conquest. Really, it's the one that's got the real closing speed there to respect. And in the three-year-old race, again, with place on side, King of Spa, do you think should take a power of beating with just some ordinary luck there for On Fire and Nashra Willa? Have I pretty much summed that up?
Yes, you have summed it up very, very well.
Beautiful. And overall, well, we're going to go through each race tomorrow, but you got a bit of confidence about the rest of the card?
It's a great card, and I've marked a number of races high, and I feel very confident in many of the races.
Lovely. All right. Well, if you're just getting our early edition, we hope we've set you off on the right foot there for the main three races. If you're getting our full package there, we'll be talking to you in the morning, along with Vince's final edition of Race Speed Profiles. Thanks so much for being a customer of what we do here on Year Round Carnival.